Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce four uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. I'm just going to start recording because Michael's grabbing the guitar and he's slaying it. But I got to figure out how to change the camera. Who knows how to do that? The only person who actually knows how to change the cameras is Serge. Yeah, which one is it? Oh, they changed the color. There we go.
Snark to tune it up.
I'll bring up
a tuner really quick.
Any chance you have a capo?
I do. Yeah. I'll bring
This members only segment is going to be about Bankman Fried spending millions on Democrat campaigns, but because there's musicians in the house.
How about you sing a song about the corruption of FTX?
I would love to sing you a song.
Oh, hell yeah. Corruption one? You want to just position the mic however you think it might make the most sense? Put it right up to your mouth because then we won't hear the guitar.
In a loud voice.
Ian's got a capo coming.
Oh, he's out there. I got you.
Yeah.
I was thinking to him actually the new stuff for the new studio to get
Hell yeah.
extra in so we can plug in guitars and set up for this.
Yeah, we're actually going to be building a live room so that at the new studio.
Perfect, Brad.
Yep, we can be like, cue the live camera. We're going to build out this big thing.
Brad.
We still rolling?
We're rolling. The story is the Democrats were getting this money through this scam, and we got it from Axios. We can talk about it in a second. But while Mr. Michael Graves is here, he's got a song about corruption, and he said he'd love to play a song. So it is an honor and a privilege to be in the presence of such great music.
Yeah. How about a pick? Do we have a pick?
Yeah, here you go.
What's this one called, Michael?
I'm going to play Boxcar Headed East.
Boxcar Headed East.
I always have like 87 picks on me. So I right there by your phone.
Smart.
Had
Incubus in my head after.
Okay, here we go.
Inside this cold dystopic nightmare, seems like I've been vindicated somehow. Yet they still want me in a boxcar headed east. They still want me publicly hanged at the gallows, and they come for me, but I don't know what I've done. I pray Jesus protect me, because I don't don't plan to. I don't plan to run from a boxcar headed east. From a boxcar headed east, yeah. From a boxcar headed east. Innocent of all the insane charges you charged me with somewhere deep in your mind. Exonerated from all the darkness, it disappears in the morning light. Yet they still want me in a boxcar headed east. They still want me publicly hanged at the gallows, and they come for me. But I don't know what I've done. I pray Jesus protect me, because I don't plan to. I don't plan to. I don't plan to run, yeah. From a boxcar headed east. From a boxcar headed east, yeah.
I hope it sounded as good in the recording as it did through the headphones.
Thanks, bro.
That was amazing.
Breakdown's nuts when you take it up the neck.
Thank you. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
What's the boxcar metaphor? I'm wondering. Is this like World War II shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about all those innocent souls that thought they were going somewhere better. You know, they were being lied to, and they got on, you know, those railway cars that, again, you know, that you can still go see, which I have, and so that's the analogy, you know, allegory.
My family was on those boxcars.
Awful.
So
I always appreciate when a rock star plays like the heart and soul, biggest, hardest, like pure feeling everything song, and then immediately is cool afterwards.
Oh.
It's like laughs, smiles. Yeah, that song was about the Holocaust.
It's fucking hardcore, dude.
The joy of being able to have the opportunity to put my gifts on display, right? And then for you to ask me, well, wow, what was that song about? That's an amazing thing. And then to be able to, you know, like Luke said, I mean, his family was directly connected to those things, and to be able to, not necessarily to pay homage, but to say that I recognize that and I feel that. And it's something that we have to remember, and something that we do have to put into, we have to create through, and so that we can have these conversations. Well, what's a boxcar headed east? Well, let's talk about what that is and why that is.
When did you write that song?
About a year ago, I did a version that I released, and Pete played drums on it when it was just an idea.
No shit.
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Man.
You guys know each other for a long time, you and Pete?
I met Pete through Tim.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. And I had this, I had the idea for Boxcar Headed East, which you can find on Amazon, Spotify, wherever music is. And meeting Pete and having conversation with him, I said, I have this idea for a song. You want to play some drums on? He said, absolutely.
We were talking before the first show about like the age of like collaboration and like the Dire Straits and Sting coming together to make money for nothing and stuff like that. You get like Neil Young joins Crosby, Stills, and Nash for a fucking album.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Aerosmith and Run DMC, we were saying. It's tremendous. Yeah. Yeah. I think that when you take to dynamic, creative energy like that and you put them together, that's when you really get really powerful stuff. I love collaborating. I love collaborating. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's get a song, man.
I'm 100% in.
It's funny. It's kind of weird for me because we put out these songs that are, kind of like rock. I don't know how to describe it. I'll just put it this way. Almost all the stuff that I write is like acoustic rock and maybe folkish, sort of. I don't know how to describe it, but I do not have that gruff voice. But like the kind of music that is being inspired by the politics of this day, aggressive, kind of direct, a bit angry, challenging. It's never really been like, I don't have a voice like that. I don't know how to describe it, but
your stuff really does. It leans forward. It drives in a really cool way. Yeah.
I'll just put it this way. Whatever the song is you hear, I wrote it on acoustic guitar to be played on acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And so if it gets, Carter's making the magic and transforming them and making them different or whatever.
Yeah.
I like taking all like viscerally different genres and putting them together into like a gruff voice and a pure voice. And then you get a lot of these people that'll be like, no, let's just make it sure that it's set. We need it to be, and trying to box it up. But music doesn't have a box. It doesn't fit into one, and it's not supposed to. Like, we're creating new genres as we go.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're putting out music because it's just something I know how to do. It's weird when people are coming out and they're saying, like, I'm getting comments from people, Tim thinks he's a rock star. He thinks, and I'm like, I never said that. Like, I wrote music. Mm-hmm. We have a guy who makes music. So we're like, we'll put music out. If you like it, that's cool. But we're going to try to affect culture because, as awesome as it is what the Daily Wire does, if we don't produce things that young people aspire to, then young people are going to aspire to do bad shit. They're going to aspire to be woke. Or more importantly, if there's a kid who's growing up and he's listening to music and he's like, man, The Offspring, they're so fucking cool. Like, I wish I was born in the 80s so I could be listening to The Offspring. And now today, looking at The Offspring firing someone like Pete,
right.
I don't want kids to be like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to hear kids be like, I want to be like Michael, man. He's saying, fuck you to that corruption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I love your attitude as well about the music and your creations. And I love that how creative you are. It's like every time I hang out with you or I see something about you, I find out that you're, creating something else. And it's really, really motivating and it's wonderful. But you're right. Young people that are in this space who want to be a musician or creative, sure, we'll look at Offspring and say, oh, I had this great career. And then all of a sudden at the pinnacle of their career or beyond the pinnacle of their career, when they're just kind of cruising, to do something like that.
So dark.
Yeah. Again, like I said, that's cold. They did him dirty, man. And so certainly we need to point that out and say it's bad because, and you don't want to aspire to that. Sure, you want to be.
Write a song called Fuck the Offspring.
We should call it. Yeah.
I like that song.
And just be like, how much money is enough?
Seriously.
Like, this is the crazy thing. Maybe their story is that they grew up in California to well-off families and they like their lifestyle and they want more. Maybe it's because I grew up kind of in the gutter where it's like, I don't need that stuff. It's icing on the cake and there's too much icing at this point. We've built this thing. We have great opportunities. And I'm like, what can we do with this? But do good things, try and do fun things, try to have a positive impact. But to put it this way, we do well enough and nowhere near as well as The Offspring has done, have done, that if something happened where anybody who worked here was like, oh, like they did a vax mandate. Yeah. If they rolled out a vax mandate and then, first of all, I would never enforce it on my employees. I'd say, go fuck yourself. And then if they came here and said, this person can't come into the building because they're not vaccinated, I'll be like, I'm going to keep paying them. Like, seriously, the average salary, it's mind-blowing how fucked it is that the Offspring are as rich as they are, and they couldn't just be like, we're not gonna let you down, bro. It's not your fault. We're not going to let them do this to you.
Almost unimaginable. I know. It's crazy. It's almost unimaginable, but that's the thing that when you weigh that sort of thing, like, all right, what do I do? When it comes down to, you're my brother and I care about you, and yeah, we have so much, and maybe we are going to lose a little bit of it, but that human connection, that I love you, when you say I love you or I care about you or I'm going to be there, that should have some weight.
$35 million. The Offspring sold the rights to their entire catalog of Columbia Records master recordings and the publishing rights for $35 million.
To who?
Wow. To Roundhill Music.
I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand that mentality when you have that much in this world and you're able to, like, you're good to go, man, you know?
Imagine if you went, Pete, they're not going to let you into these venues. So until we figure this out, we'll keep paying you. We're going to get a different drummer who can play with us live, but we're going to make sure everybody knows you're still here with us. We're still working with you. Or at the very least, what if they said, we're gonna pay you $50,000 a year to make sure you don't go homeless and you've got food for your family. I know it's not enough, but you can't work
and
for
Pete
us.
And Pete has children, yeah.
Right, but they, like, when if you get $35 million,
bro,
he could be like, I'll give you $100,000 a year for 10 years, and it's $1 million out of his $35 million. Yeah. It's just fucking insane to me. How much is too much? How much is not enough?
Listen, man, Look,
Pete is a really calm, reserved, nice guy. So sorry to interrupt, but I'm just thinking, like, someone might try to come up with, like, well, maybe he was a dick. Maybe they really didn't like him. And I'm like, bullshit, dude. No. He's chill. He works. He says, you got it. I'll get the job done. It's insane. With the, I don't know, man.
It's what a man is made out of. What's his name? Giggles? Googles? What's the name?
Noodles.
Of the, Noodles. You know, Noodles is the leader.
Well, I think Dexter is, right?
Whoever's calling,
I think Dexter runs the whole thing.
Whoever's calling the shots,
Brian.
There.
His name's Brian.
When you look out over the landscape and you see how much you have, again, to just throw somebody like that, or that's not me. I you can speculate all you want, but that's not me. If you were working for me, that's not me, man. If I had $35 million, I'd say, which I've never said publicly, I sold at the beginning of the pandemic. Thank God I put myself into a position to where I was able to sell my publishing that I had in the Misfits, and I got a decent amount of money for it. Nowhere near $35 million. It was under $200,000 because I was in such a dire predicament. Again, I have children, and everybody, mass exodus. Again, 20 something years of me building something that just all of a sudden went away. And so, you know, I'm the exact opposite of what happened to Pete. I would have never have done that to my guys. I've never, ever. I'm the type of person where I would lose everything and I would go back to work cutting down trees or working for the DPW and keeping my integrity and my morals and my values.
That's the point. That's what we need culture for, because kids are going to grow up and they're going to hear music. Yeah. And it's going to be The Offspring, or it's going to be AC/DC, or it's going to be Taylor Swift. Any one of these bands, they're fine. I'm not making a political point in the bands. Then they're going to say, I want to make music too. And they're going to turn to industries that are woke and corrupt.
Yeah.
If we don't try to enter that fray and say there's an opportunity with us, maybe it's not as big as Hollywood, then there's going to be kids who are going to say something like, I don't need to go work for this woke corporation. I can go and work for these guys that are chill and more about liberty and individualism.
When it came to, firstly, yes, I fucking agree with that. The Seattle Sound was the same thing, man. They did not have corporate backing, and they changed the world.
Amen.
Gruelingly.
Amen.
I wondered, at first I thought it was personal with Pete and the Offspring. I was like, maybe they didn't like him. But now I'm starting to think, like you were saying earlier about the in Nazi Germany, they would just pull their neighbors out of the houses and start ripping their clothes off and beating them on the street.
Sure.
Like they primed people for this with the 2016 election, with the Trump versus the other, Trump v. Hillary, ABV, A versus B, red versus blue. And then COVID struck and it was vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And they had people in this like them other mindset. And then you see it fucking play out. Like they were, maybe they were so warped. They were so afraid of COVID and the other ruining them that they really did. They were afraid that that they would get sick or that Pete would get somebody sick.
Yeah, sure. All of that. I think that the identity politics and the pressure from groups, peer pressure from the industry, all of that. I think that people underestimate that the tribalism that's involved, that even if there's a hint like, well, maybe, you know, I know he's my brother and all, but well, he can get other people sick and this is what everybody's saying. And well, it's just a shot. I mean, come on, what are you going to do? You know, let's go. And taking the bigger picture and the things that are important and just gathering all of the things in your corner to make that call.
I'll do a weird segue because I did want to talk about this, but we have this story about Bankman Fried or Fried, whatever his name is. Bankman Fried?
Mm-hmm,
spending like millions of dollars on Democrat campaigns. Now, trust me, I have the connection here. They lauded this guy. They called him the next JP Morgan. They said he was a hero. You had people like, I think it was Nass Daily, this YouTuber, where he's
most
like,
generous man on the face of this earth.
What's happening is this guy, who's as crooked as they come, is being propped up by all of these establishment shills as something to behold, and it's targeting young people.
Yeah, Jim Cramer, the next J.P. Morgan and Chase, Fortune magazine.
He's not targeting young people, but a lot of these outlets were. A lot of these youth outlets were like, look at this guy, and they're having him on their shows. If we don't try to win the culture war, this is what kids have to look up to. And this guy's dirty as all fucking shit.
Did you see the video where
the Nash Daily video was disgusting?
Yeah, that's the one.
Particularly he's disgusting.
Like, he's funding the greatest things on earth.
Like climate change.
You're like, how is he funding climate change? What the fuck does that mean?
He's a vegan.
He's funding climate change by buying shitloads of coal and burning it.
He's basically sending money to climate change activists. He was taking people's investment money and sending it to things that he believed in, like an impact investor, and wasn't seeing a return.
I wonder how much Nash Daily was paid for that. Because there's no fucking way. I mean, Nash Daily also had another confrontation with... What's that Rebel News reporter in Australia?
Avi Yemini.
Yep. That was also a very telling confrontation between the two.
Nas is so... I'm impressed he did the debate, but it's like... He's like, no one should be listening to you, Avi, about medicine. And he's like, I never said they should.
Right.
I'm saying they should. But the best point he made is, why is Susan Wojcicki silencing doctors?
Yeah.
People shouldn't be listening to Susan Wojcicki. I agree with you, but they're duplicitous. They lie. But my point is to kind of just connect the two things is what this guy was doing with this bogus ass crypto bullshit, being propped up by the machine, funneling money to Democrat ballot harvesting operations. This is what they celebrate and they want kids to look up to and they want kids to be.
Yeah.
We need more cultural power. And that means we have to be in the space and fighting in that space.
He lived in a mega mansion. He had a private jet. There's all these conversations about him having drug-fueled orgies and all of them being polyamorous
He's
and fucking each other around.
Different people in his house.
In the company. Right? But then Nash Daily, like, look at him. He's the most generous man on this world. He has a poor man car and he sleeps at the office. I'm like, shut the fuck up, you lying fucking piece of shit.
Did you see that interview he did where he's like shaking?
Yes.
Yeah.
What the fuck
just
was
tweaking.
That all about?
So just he would tweaking encourage out. His right. employees to try different drugs to see which ones worked for them to get better, more work done.
Yeah, that girl he was dating, she tweeted something about being on methamphetamine or being on amphetamines.
Oh yeah, and how she was on it every day and how she looks down on people who are not drugged up like her.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
You see they filed a class action lawsuit against Tom Brady and Larry David for basically
what?
Shilling
Larry
FTX.
David?
Yeah, he was involved in one of the commercials. Oh, and in the commercial he's like, there's no way I'm investing in that. It's a terrible idea and I'm never wrong.
Tony Blair, fucking Bill Clinton said, yeah, we'll go to the private islands. We're usually doing that anyway. But they're like, yeah, fucking we'll back this 100%. 100%.
I also saw something that Epstein was working on with his genetic experiments or whatever. There was funding that went in from that and into the some of the medical stuff, the pandemic stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. Yeah,
It's important, I think. Well, the girl's name, his girlfriend that you're talking about, is Caroline Ellison or Carolyn Ellison, and other. I've seen people referring to Sam Bankman-Fried as SBF. I want to avoid that. I want to continue to call him Sam Bankman-Fried so that we can keep his parents' last names in the news, because his mother and father are Democratic. I mean, as far as I tell, Democratic operatives, like they've been, and they encouraged Sam to become what he is. They pushed him in this direction, fucking drug-addled. Lack of parenting, low T, big bitch tits. Like he's not healthy.
Right,
he's
Bill Gates fat.
Right.
Bill Gates moves. Tits.
He's saying he's got that same crazy look that Pelosi guy had.
Yeah.
But this, in a postmodern, post-Christian world, right? When even if you're not a, you don't completely believe in Jesus and are going to church and everything, but just what Christianity is built upon. That's why it was so important, you know, our founding fathers and where they were coming from, their ideological perspective and the filters that they were putting their ideas through to build a society that could withstand the sort of things and build. And again, like we said earlier in our conversation about doing things that'll help us get to the next level. When you take that out, when you take that foundation out, which is essentially what our nation was built upon, and it's our founding fathers said that if you take those things out, that Christendom, the Christianity part of it, and again, not just Jesus, but the do unto others as you would do unto yourself, those things, that pushes away the greed and the jealousy and those things are convicted in your heart so that you don't become a drug-addled, crazy person that's looking to screw over anybody and everybody that just wields destruction and again, depravity everywhere you look. God does not withhold his judgment from any nation throughout all of time. There's a redundancy in history where God has there's judgment upon nations, even Israel, the land given to God's people,
the chosen people. Yeah,
sure. So what makes us think that we're any different than judgment? We've been here a couple of hundred years, and all of the things that we're doing not only have repercussions in the reality space, this physical space, but it resonates into the ether of where music comes from, where thoughts are, where beauty is, where God dwells.
Yeah, it's the vibration, you know, moving things around. We're actually in the Torrid Meteor stream right now. Have you heard this?
I want to say something. You mentioned where music comes from. I often don't think of songs as being written, but being discovered.
Right.
Because I hear certain songs and I'm like, I feel that. Like, you'll be listening to, you probably get this. You listen to a song you've never heard before and you know exactly what the next melody shift is going to be. You know, because it's like you're on a path. Mm-hmm. And that song was found, and you just, like, I don't know, I'll hear a song in my mind, I know exactly where they're going to go in the next, you know what I mean?
Sure. Everybody has that experience with music or a song, and that there's the magic in the music. For example, you know, I write a song, I wrote Dig Up Her Bones, when I was 16 years old, just sitting in a room trying to figure out how I felt and put it into a song. In a song like that, that's why I was 16 years old, 47 years old now. I wrote that in isolation. I poured my heart and my soul into that song. And I didn't even understand what I was trying to say. The lyrics in that song, I use words like anything, anywhere, these big, broad terms. But then, you know, 10, 15 years later even, somebody hears that song. And it connects to them. They feel that in their soul. They feel it inside. Yeah. It's like seeing somebody that's familiar to you. Oh, hey. And that shouldn't be, because you make this connection, this cosmic connection that transcends physical. How can that be? Me writing this song, or anybody writing this song, creating this thing 16, 15, 20, how many years ago? And then somebody hearing it and it having this profound effect that they can't shake. It's always with you. You know, look at people that have, for example, like Alzheimer's. They can't remember anything. There's nothing there. It's just this, it's jumble. You play music. and all of a sudden they remember and they're sing dancing. And they have the words. Even I forget who the artist was who was, I think, suffering from Alzheimer's, and unless he was on stage performing, you know, once you put that guitar in his hand, he could play and he can sing, and all of his everything was there. And then once you took that away, he would go back to that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It actually releases oxytocin in the human body. We were talking about why Trump is so powerful in person. I think a lot of it is his voice and his own vibration is causing people to release oxytocin.
Yeah.
We talked to Milo about it, and I was like, that can actually alter DNA at the suppressive level. It suppresses certain DNA so that things are just function different. And I've got this theory. 12,800 years ago, there's evidence that we were struck by a meteor stream, the torrid meteor stream. And twice a year, we pass through this torrid meteor stream for the next 35 years. The same meteor stream that apparently ended the human civilization as we knew it, 12,800
like
years
ago. Gobekli Tepe or...
Yeah, this is where they recovered after the meteor strikes. They eventually recovered in Gobekli Tepe and started to re-spread some of the knowledge that they had preserved, but most of it was lost. We don't know who even they were, really. We know of Atlantis, but we don't know what they had, how they traveled. We know they circumnavigated the globe, but that was all lost. And I'm wondering now, for the next 35 years, we will be passing through the torrid meteor stream again. This is our opportunity to not get struck by a fucking meteor. And I think it has to do with vibration. That if we can somehow, with our voices or with just our own, our perception, our energy, you know, our vibrational field, we may be able to make sure that we don't get hit. We're also going to need to build technology and redirect these things.
I think sound and words absolutely are so important and overlooked and resonance, like you're saying. I mean, you open up the Christian Bible, the first thing is, you know, God spoke. He spoke these things. He used he used a voice. And again, there, like you're saying, Donald Trump, for example, his tone of voice and the things that, there's resonance in that that affects us. Same thing. Sound is speech. Absolutely, is way more important than I think that a lot of people recognize.
Yeah. And the way you feel when you say things, because it's not necessarily the words themselves are almost not irrelevant, but they're like icing on the cake.
Yes.
That's what I was saying. I feel like. I've heard songs and I'm like, I've heard a new song come out and I'm like, I know that song. Like, I know what they're saying. I know what they're doing. I know the sound they're making. I know what the next line's gonna, not the words themselves, but like, you can just sort of feel at a certain point where the music goes. So it's almost, that's why I say it's like discovering the song. And then I'm just like, why couldn't I have seen that first? You know what I mean?
I don't know who said it. Perhaps it was Bono, but someone was asking him about his creativity, and he said that your sentiment where he, you know, great artists don't necessarily write their own stuff. They, you know, it's not coming out of me, you know, that doesn't come out of the artist. They have access for a short time to these things. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking this, here's a fun thought. We won't go too much longer, but if infinite multiverses exist, like every possible reality, then we're not actually imagining or creating ideas. We're seeing what does exist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if every possible reality exists, that means it's a reality with Spider-Man in it. If every single possible reality could exist. Assuming that there's like an infinite number of universes and infinity goes literally, it's like never ending. That means that when we think of Spider-Man in a scenario he's in, we're actually looking into that universe. We're not imagining the song in our mind. Mm. We're tapping into the multiverse and drawing from it. I'm not saying that's definitively true. I'm just saying if.
No, I feel you. I think that there's certain broadcasts in the universe, and what you tap into, that's the, you know, the good stream and the evil stream, that broadcast, and to filter those broadcasts, again, discernment comes into place. And that's why if you meditate on that discernment, you meditate like intentionally, you were just saying, well, you impregnate the sounds and the things that you do with good intention, then that's you reap and sow. So you that's what you sow.
We'll wrap it up there. Michael, thanks for hanging out. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Guys.
We got to work on a song. Look, I'm not a pro musician. I'm just a podcaster, but I've gotten to work and hang out with some really cool people, so it's an honor and a privilege to have you here playing music for us.
Thanks,
super
brother.
Excited. And for everybody who's a member, making it all possible, you making dreams come true. We'll keep fighting the good fight. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.
Cheers.